Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in the arts, culture, and in ideas. Today, we're going to be looking at the story. It's an ongoing story about how the arts community and creative industries coping with the facts on the ground around the pandemic, around the recession that's hit us, and questions of how, what kind of support systems are being made available for them. Now, my guests today, one of whom is kind of almost regular guest, is Ansatrina Mohamed Salahuddin. She's the founding CEO of the Cultural Economy Development Agency, or Chandana. We've talked to her many times about what Chandana is doing and what the state, what the government, at least the federal government, is doing in order to support the creative industries. Also with us today, Kogilevani Munyandi. She is a director of Good Kids Malaysia, recipient of the arts organization funding program that Chandana ran. So we're going to learn more about what is happening, but thank you both for being here, both
Thank
of you.
Let's
start with you, Izan. I know broad picture, we've asked you for this before, you had that survey. Is there a follow-up? It's been several months now. What are we learning about the shape of the crisis, especially as it's reverberating through the creative industries?
Well, I think from the first survey that was conducted, measuring the impact of COVID-19 on the arts, we have then followed up with a survey to measure whether Malaysian audiences will return to arts activities and venues, whether they will come back even during RMCO. Now, 92% of them don't feel safe leaving home.
92%.
Yes, it's quite a big number. Now, we did the survey together with certain organizations and using their database. So, for example, KLPAC, PR Worldwide, Ilham Gallery, Sabah Art Gallery. And the response is alarming. It also shows that they will return to these venues and activities between 2 months to a year. So that sort of data was very important to us to sort of carve out the necessary programs to support the scene, because at the end of the day, after all the restrictions are lifted, we want to make sure there is still an art scene and ecosystem left.
Yeah, I mean, that's extraordinary, you know, because I'm thinking, when I go to the market, I see lots of people, right? So what is the difference between people jostling about for their vegetables and people sitting in a theater? And that is something perhaps that artists themselves had to think about, right, the venues. Kogilevani, Kogi, can I call you that? Let's talk about Good Kids Malaysia. If you could just tell us a little bit about what you do and how your business model, the way you work, the work you do with children, how is it impacted by this pandemic?
So Good Kids Malaysia is a social enterprise. We do programs for our beneficiary group, which are children and youth from the B40 community. We use arts and counseling. We combine both of that because we see that's a very powerful transformation tool, which is what is needed by these kids. And we bring it into the community so that we can see a holistic transformation for the whole community. It's very important for a community to see what is happening with the kids, with the youth, so that they can believe in, you know, this methodology that we use. Mm. And on the other side, we also have our business arm. We have a training arm called Mind Movers. This is the arm that actually generates revenue and it supports whatever the beneficiary work that we do. However, it's very new. So at the moment, we only generate about 20% of what we need to run the beneficiary program. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what I understand is in the work that you do, the business side of it involves training. And training, in some strange way, also involves bringing people together, often in a very intense interaction. How is that impacted by this? I mean, are you getting a sense from potential clients or clients that you've had about their willingness or reluctance to return to a training environment?
Yeah. So just before the pandemic hit, we had a big corporate client who signed up for mental health training. You know, it was stress at work, how to manage stress at work. But once the pandemic hit, we had to stop. You know, we went back to them with online training, online modules, but they're like, you know, our budget is restricted now. We have to focus on other areas. Mm-hmm. So similarly, all the other companies, other organizations, they know they need this, especially how to manage stress and mental health related topics, because that is big now. People don't know how to handle what is happening with COVID. You have people who lose their jobs, and then companies are downsizing, where people have to multitask and do a lot of things at the same time. But they cannot prioritize this because the budget is needed for basic survival. So we are affected in terms of expanding. We are still trying in different venues, different avenues to reach out to the people who really need this.
Right. Yeah. Izan, you know, one of the things, you talked about audiences, right? But there's, there's also this other part of the ecosystem, you know, the corporate sponsors, the people who've used the arts, you know, to both brand themselves, but also perhaps do a bit of CSR. What are you hearing from the industry? I mean, are they now saying, oh, this is a lost cause, you know, let's give up on 2020, maybe 2021 will be okay. What are you hearing?
So, I mean, that's an interesting question because I think next month we also have a forum about corporate funders on the arts. You will see and notice that some of the usual funders have sort of paused their support for the arts. And it's not a surprise because I think some of the funding is then repurposed or reallocated for other crises that has come about because of COVID-19. But at the same time, our artists are also essential frontline workers to us. They are there for exactly what you've said. Some there are mental health communities that need that. There's still autistic children who are at homes that still need to be engaged with. So hence why we have in April sort of repurposed our funds for the artists so they can do that. But also at the same time, under the Prime Minister's announcement recently in June, they have announced the Panjana program and the plans to sort of reactivate and recover all the businesses that have been impacted by it. So 10 million is allocated for the arts and all of it will be carved out all for different artists of different sectors, performing arts, visual arts, independent music, and now craft.
10 million. Okay, Izan, tell me honestly, what is 10 million? It sounds like a drop in the bucket of what was will be needed. I mean, it, you know, 10 million, enough?
I know what you mean, but also bear in mind that 10 million is from a bigger allocation of 150 or 190 million worth to benefit the creative industries. It comes in a form of different grants. It comes in the form of grants, and some of the grants being also managed by us. So the other grants covers art house film, literature, digital live events as well, can apply for grants under My Creative Ventures.
Okay, and I must say, you know, because we can't always rely on government and taxpayer money to kind of carry on with our work and our lives. I mean, what when you think about your work, Kogi, very quickly, before we go to the break, do you rely on government, corporate sponsors, your business? In your own mind, what's most important in the mix to kind of do the kind of work you want to do?
We do rely very heavily on foundations, corporate foundations, and we do get a little bit of support from government. We have gotten a grant from MAGIC and now Cendana. But besides that, mostly it's corporate foundations. Because to get the support for art-related program in the government is not that easy. I'm sure Izan agrees with this. So we are really glad that, you know, Cendana is here to actually facilitate this and to see the importance of using the arts for community-driven programs. Because
And we'll come back to that. Okay. We'll touch on the question of social enterprise related to the work. I think it's a very interesting model. Again, you know, moving away from dependence solely on the state. So, okay, we'll take a short break and we'll be back with more on Let's Talk.